Hello and welcome to the tech segment of We're Drunk and We Know Things. We are once again on tour en France, à Provence, à Roquebrune-sur-Argens, outside on a beautiful deck.
In 39 degree heat.
Yeah, 39 degree heat. We've, for the first time on this podcast, we're not drinking beer, but fear not, we're mixing large amounts of gin with Orangina. Which seems to have done the trick that beer did not. This month we are doing something called TCP/IP.
That's it.
Cool.
That's what I do. I drink. And I know things.
So, TCP/IP.
TCP is the thing you put on cuts. IP is yes. What I do in about 5 minutes after I finished all this Orangina.
Yeah, we're done.
Cool.
No, these two things are both protocols.
That's what the P stands for. You're looking at me as if to say that's what the P stands for, right?
We're warming up, right?
So now I is for identifying.
No, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Cool your jets there, Rocco.
We're going to play that game though, right?
Of course, combined... They are referred to as the Internet Suite of protocols.
Does the C stand for combined?
No.
Okay. They're the
The Internet Protocol.
Right, okay.
Suite.
Oh, so there's a secondary IP, the IP suite. And part of that IP suite is an IP, but it's a different
IP. Look, we're going to cover all this. There's TCP, there's IP, there's UDP.
I'm sorry.
There's I need to pee.
To pee or not to pee.
the Hamlet Protocol. And bear in mind, we're talking about the internet, not the web, so I'm afraid that our favourite celeb will not be making an appearance in this podcast.
Yes, because we won't understand the difference.
Do you know what the internet was built for, right?
Sending messages between MIT and somewhere else.
Yes, but it was funded by a group called DARPA, who were fundamentally a military research lab.
The guys that built the bunkers on the island in Lost.
Yeah, maybe.
You haven't watched Lost?
No. Nope.
Trust me, people are going to be cracking up at home when they hear me say it. I remember that. It was, yeah, the third season was a bit lag, and the last few episodes. But anyway.
So DARPA, Advanced Research Products Agency, yes. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency,
yes.
Are a military research lab.
Yes.
And they were tasked with building a network that would be trans-nation.
Yes.
So, like an internal network for the entire US.
Yep.
And, most important of all, would be tolerant to interruption.
So that's why it's the internet, not the World Wide Web, because it's only transnation, not worldwide.
Also, the World Wide Web is a completely different thing that was invented in 1993, and we're talking about the 1960s.
Also that? Yeah. Let me finish.
I mean, the thing is, when you think about the time, so we're talking about the late 1960s.
So it's super Cold War paranoia.
What kind of interruption do you think they were worried about?
Electromagnetic from bombs.
Just getting nuked, to be honest.
Okay, fine.
So the internet was born out of a need to build a network that was nuke-proof.
Right.
Or near enough.
Sure.
And there's no way to actually proof a network, so... What they did was they thought, well, hang on a minute, if we have a big-ass network of stuff, then you can route around that network, and provided you can get from point A to point B, it doesn't really matter how you get there.
Sure.
You can go via point C, you can go via points E, D, and F. Oh, no, F just got blown off the face of the map. Right, we're going via point G now.
Right.
So what we have in 1972, a chap called Robert E. Kahn.
Kahn!
I was waiting for that.
Sorry.
He joined DARPA. He'd originally been working on satellite packet networks and ground-based radio packet networks.
Right. Those old chestnuts.
And he was joined in 73 by a chap called Vinton Cerf, who had written the existing ARPANET control program. So NCP.
Mm-hmm.
NCP.
NCP.
Just in case you get a bit Tron happy on me.
Sure.
The MCP?
No,
is the big, you got it.
I've
okay,
seen Tron about three or four times. I'm not
three
that
or
hot
four?
On it. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I think I've seen Tron Legacy more, actually.
No.
Yes.
Anyway, so he'd basically, ARPANET was already up and running, but they needed something that was much, much better at managing and routing traffic around this network. So VintSurf had designed NTP, and he joins Khan, and they were working on a new type of network control where reliability was no longer the responsibility of the network, but was actually the responsibility of the hosts, the nodes that are on it.
Right, and the nodes are the A, B, C, D, E, F.
A, B, C, D, E, F.
Yes.
So effectively, you will have hosts, which are senders and receivers of data, and you will have what I suppose we would refer to as relays, but they call them routers.
Right.
Because they actually route traffic.
Right. They direct it from A to B or A to F.
Or to be honest, from... they pass traffic on its way. And we'll talk a bit more later about how this actually works, probably with a lot of gesticulation, which works brilliantly on the audio-only medium that is a podcast.
Just before we go on to something else, can I just ask, did VintSurf have a brother called Charlie Don't? Charlie Don't Surf. I thought of it as soon as you said it, and I... But you were really...
Surf spelled C, Mike. C-E-R-F.
Like, well... Moving on.
So, they built a protocol that they called the Transmission Control Program.
Right.
TC.
Yeah, I got you. TCP.
But not the TCP we're talking about.
Oh, fuck you.
It was first published in 1974.
Right. And this was called the what, sorry?
And that was the Transmission Control Program.
Transmission Control
Program. And what they realised, having published it, was that they had completely failed to take into account... Actually, completely failed. These guys are freaking genius researchers running computer science engineering at a time when it didn't exist. But yeah, they completely screwed up and dropped the ball. Because one of the things that was emerging as a requirement for a robust network architecture was the concept of layering, which we will talk about in great detail in a short while.
Cool. You really sound like you're looking forward to doing this one. We're going to talk about this like really.
I'm not going to lie, dear listener and Mike, this is pretty dry shit. But
sounds pretty interesting so far.
They chose it. We've got Khan, we've got Nukes.
Nukes, yeah, exactly. Nodes.
We've got Cum Twister.
Nodes getting taken out.
Oh, no, wait, that's the other one.
Nodes getting taken out left
by a Twister.
Could do.
Yeah.
Listen, so, they can be as powerful as Nukes.
What they ended up doing was they took the principles that form Transmission Control Protocol and broke it up into two separate layered protocols.
Right.
TCP.
And ICP.
And IP.
IP. Why do I like ICP?
So, what does IP stand for?
Identifying Protocol.
No.
Identification Protocol.
Nope.
Indigo Protocol.
What's it running on?
Internet Protocol.
There we go.
Oh, that seems like I should have gone straight there.
And TCP?
Totally Cosmic Pants Protocol. Totally Cosmic Protocol.
Yeah, the second P is silent.
Transmission Control.
What?
Because you just told me.
Did I?
You said it wasn't that one.
Oh, it's a Transmission Control Program. Yeah, you're right, it is.
It's just called Program, this one.
Man, this orange gene is good.
So they invented the TCP, and then they broke it into two layers. The TCP was the Transmission Control Protocol.
Program.
And then they turned it into the Transmission Control Protocol and the Internet Protocol.
Exactly so.
Right.
And the reasons for that will become clear.
Because when they initially invented the TCP, you called it the Transmission Control Protocol.
I'm cool. Drunk and I misspeak things.
And you said this was going to be dry.
Now, the general idea when they launched this thing...
Anyone that's a bit confused listening to this, I am understanding it now. It does make sense. Just go back.
Just rewind.
Hit the
again.
Minus 15 like two or three times. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So it was said that what they managed to build was a network that was so robust it could be run comfortably over two cans and a bit of string.
Right.
This was a sincere piece of very, very, very good engineering that completely filled the brief.
Right.
And to understand how it did that, we're going to take a deep dive into both TCP and IP.
Don't say deep dive. It's so hot out here. All I want to do is be in water.
I'm going to roll straight on.
Right.
I'm going to start with IP. I know it comes second. But
sometimes not at all.
And sometimes way too soon. It's the PEP.
Right.
The Internet Protocol, and to give it its full title, it's the Internet Protocol version 4.
Right.
Right, so the Internet Protocol in the Internet stack is responsible for a whole bunch of stuff. It's responsible for addressing hosts and giving them identifiers that we can use to send things.
Saying, hello, Rob, I am Mike's transmission.
Internet protocol is IP, right?
Yes.
Are you familiar with the phrase IP address?
Yes.
Yes, so that's addressing.
You have to type it in when you set up a router.
Yeah, totally. And routers, see, you've done all this shit.
Oh, why are we bothering them?
Because they haven't.
Oh, right.
IP is also responsible for encapsulating data into something that's referred to in the protocol as datagrams.
Right.
But we normally call them packets.
It's like a kissogram.
Yes. Except he dates you. Much longer.
Super weird.
Much bigger time commitment.
Very expensive. Are we talking about gigolos?
Apparently we are.
Right. No, still way too off course here.
And the final responsibility, kind of on broad strokes, is for routing packets from a source to a host across one or more networks.
I'm sorry, a packet is the wedge of information.
We'll get onto it, because we're about to discuss what makes up a datagram.
Okay.
Step one, doorbell goes.
Yeah, sorry, I thought we had.
Datagram for Mongo. No.
I'm just laughing that we were worried that we weren't going to be able to get drunk out here because it's too hot.
Right, so the datagram itself, the packet has two parts. The
Frank and the beans.
Three parts. The header and the payload.
Okay, you've got to help me out here. I'm trying not to distract us, but you've got to stop saying shit like that, that I can be like, I'm sorry, what? The header and the payload.
Mm-hmm.
The header is, this is what it is as a brief summary. The payload is what it is.
Well, kind of. The header is basically metadata. So it contains the source IP address, the destination IP address, and other data that it needs to get where it's going.
Sure. So if you imagine a letter, it's everything that's written on the outside and or on the back of an envelope.
Yes!
And the payload is what's in the envelope.
Exactly the example that I didn't write down there.
Oh, I'm a fucking genius.
Yeah, so just so. The payload is everything that's inside it. Now, all you need to do to get data across this network, to route data to a host, is you need to basically create the packet and then inject that packet into the network.
Right, got to penetrate the network.
You do.
And drop off your payload.
At the pool.
Right, yeah, so.
Yeah, right. So you have access to one end of the network and you want to send information to anywhere else on the network. Mm-hmm. You literally just have to address the envelope and drop it in the post box.
Sure.
At which point, the network then takes care of routing that packet.
Right. Okay.
And this is where the whole example of point A, B, C, D comes in.
So when you say router, it is literally the router that I've got in my house.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some
one
other
end,
ethereal router. It's
one end, it's a tendril of the internet network.
So it's a post box, if you will.
Yeah, it's a tentacle that posts into your living room.
Right.
And that is your interface with the broader internet.
Yes.
Which in turn is not necessarily one network. It's actually...
You've done a fabulous job of explaining this because I actually understand what you're talking about.
Oh, good. Thank God this is the easy bit.
5 minutes ago I was like, wait, what? Now I'm like, ah, okay, yeah.
Now bear in mind that the IP protocol, protocol, is actually considered to be an unreliable protocol.
Right.
It's best effort. It makes no promises about deliverability.
Right.
And it says, look, I'll do my best to get it there.
Is that because it can't guarantee that, like, the router is there? Or, like, you know...
Yeah, all sorts of things.
I don't know that the node is even there. So you can put it on there, but it might have been blown up.
Yeah.
And I'll get it there if I can.
Or I might not be able to find a route to it because you're only connected via one connection and that connection's down.
Right.
So we'll come back to how this actually is solved. And it is solved by TCP, which is why the two come hand in hand. But for now, you just need to bear in mind that IP networking is considered, best of guess, really.
Right. But
give it a go.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Packets, as we've already discussed, are sent by normally the most efficient route, but they can be sent by any available route on the network.
Right, okay.
Which, when you consider that the network is big, it does mean that in theory, if you wanted to send me a packet, but the connection between us was down, you could send that packet via Japan, it would still get there.
Yeah. But I would assume that when I am sending a WhatsApp message to somebody in Jersey, when I'm in Jersey, I'm sending a WhatsApp message to somebody in Jersey when I'm here in France, takes a different route, but it's all the same
packets, all the same business.
All the same bits and pieces, same letter, envelope, blah, 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 blah. It just uses a different route.
Yeah.
clearly, because I'm physically in a different place.
And to be honest, bear in mind that WhatsApp actually does go via a central WhatsApp server. So you're sending it
to them,
and then they send it out to me.
Right, yeah, sure.
Possibly they'll have some in Europe and what have you, because as we'll see in a moment, latency is a big deal, and there's all sorts of crazy things that happen when you try and build a network that covers the entire planet.
Sure.
Because like, it's quite hard to do.
You need really long wires.
Yeah, the
still only need two cans. But you need a really, really long
really long bit of string. another fun thing is that it makes no guarantee about ordering of delivery of the packets.
Ordering of delivery, as in what order?
Well, let's say that you are writing a story, but the story will not fit in one envelope, so you have to split it up over.
So I send you all
10.
The chapters. They might not necessarily arrive in the same order.
There is no guarantee whatsoever that they will arrive in the same order,
even though I send them in sequence.
Yep. Because one of them might go via point B, which is really quick. One of them might go via point C, which is less quick but more reliable.
Okay.
One of them might not get there at all.
Well, you know what? That's why sometimes... Yeah, okay, yeah. I was going to say, sometimes you do send a WhatsApp message or something, and you'll send one thing before another, and you'll get a delivery notification on the second one first.
That's not because of this, but it's a very similar symptom.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah, that's all to do with sequencing on their server and what have you.
Right, okay.
Also,
we'll come
because
to that
the WhatsApp network is shit.
We'll come to that when we get to W.
So we have IP addresses.
WhatsApp doc. That's
and IP addresses are assigned to any element or node that is connected to the network.
Uh-huh.
So the minute you connect your smartphone or your PC or what have you directly to the internet, it's given an IP address.
And that's also why you can't use American Netflix, because your IP address gives your geographical location.
Yeah, because the IP addresses, generally speaking, are assigned
so you're in Jersey, in England, wherever.
Places.
Yeah.
And telco providers and what have you, and they then basically you rent one out for a bit.
Yeah.
The trouble is that IPv4 uses a four octet addressing format. So it's basically four numbers.
Yep, I gotcha.
Which are hexadecimal and run from 1 to 255 or 0 to 255.
Okay.
So the maximum number you can have, I think, is like 248.248.248.248.
Okay.
Which seems like a lot of possible combinations, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. We ran out.
Right.
Because there are so many devices and so many servers and so many things in the world.
If I'm at home, my router has an IP address, my phone has an IP address, my iPad has an IP address, every device has its own one.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, sure. Then I think just between you and I, we ran them out. Certainly you. Looking at the gear you brought with us on holiday, yeah, I think it might be then.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm hurt by that.
No, I didn't mean it in a horrible way.
I only bought two routers. So yeah, basically the IPv4, the pool is considered to be 32 bits, which contains 4,294,000,000,000. Either way,
4,940,000,000.
Yeah, so 4,294,967,296. We've run out.
Well, I suppose if you buy a new iPhone every 10 fucking minutes, you're going to. How many iPhones have been sold?
Lots.
Why would you know that? I'm sorry.
Can't Google that quickly, people. Now, there is a successor to IPv4.
Right. IPv5?
It's IPv6.
Fucking nerds.
IPv5 was a thing. It was an experimental protocol that did streaming data, like video streams.
Right.
But they never really needed it because they worked out how to do that over IPv4.
Right, okay.
IPv6 fundamentally makes a load of changes to the way the network works in under the hood.
What internet protocol? What's a V?
Version.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Victory.
So on.
So, the IPv6 network space is 128-bit, which means that you have, and I'm just going to show you the number, it's the second one there in bold, you have that many addresses.
340.302.368.940.463.463.4.431.761.468.211.456.
I'm pretty sure that's...
A Googleplex?
Quadrillion, debillionins.
The whole motherfucking bunch.
Yes.
To quote Stephen Hawking.
So, IPv6 is designed fundamentally to address the problem of the fact that we've run out of them.
Right.
The trouble is that we'd already kind of solved this problem.
Of course we did.
Because, and...
We killed half the population by Thanos.
We That would actually help.
I mean, that's his thing. I know he's talking about, like, not running out of resources. Look, he's specifically talking about IP addresses.
Infinity War is basically, it's about IP address exhaustion and the fact that he has just had enough of not being able to get Netflix.
Yeah. He's land doesn't work anymore.
What we did was we came up with, there are a couple of ranges in the IPv4 address space which are reserved for private networks.
Right.
So you're not allowed to put them on the internet, but you can use them in your company or your office or your home.
Sure.
Which is why some IP addresses will be more familiar to people than others. So, for example, if I were to say to you 192.168.0.1...
Oh, yeah.
You might be like, hang on a minute, I typed that.
I've typed that in at some point.
Are you a ninja?
You know, isn't that how you enter the user interface of your router when you set it up, right? Right, okay, yeah.
But how did I know that that was the IP address of your router?
Because it's the same...
It's the IP address of every router, because it's a private, small subnet.
If you're only ever dialing one person one time, it doesn't matter if they all have the same phone number.
No, because what they actually did was they worked out that you can have... The whole point about the internet is it can be a network of networks.
Right.
So your home network can give individual 192.168 addresses to your iPhone, to your PlayStation, to your very small television. It can give me an IP address when I come round and hack your Wi-Fi.
You hack it by... You'd used, like phishing when you said, Mike, what's your password?
Yeah.
And I've gone and he said it.
Like the
I actually said it.
It was the least sophisticated social engineering thing ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what it means is that actually everybody connected in your home is connected to your home network, and therefore they are not taking up an IP address. And your home only has one IP address.
Yes.
So you're only taking up one of those 2 to the power of 32 addresses that are out there. And the way that the network then operates is that the router in your home is smart enough to know that when it sends a request, part of the metadata it sends was, oh, this person inside my network sent this request.
Okay, yeah.
So when it comes back, it can be, oh, Mike, here's your porn.
Okay. Fair cop.
Or, oh, Rob, here's your... treaty on the early life of Napoleon Bonaparte and your porn.
Starring Napoleon Bonaparte. Oh. Napoleon Bone apart.
Yeah. So this is a process called network address translation, which allows you to basically have...
It's like putting a desk number in an office block. It's saying, exactly. It's going to this address, but
you
go through this desk.
And it's also, if you think about the way that you phone certain companies, you phone a number, and then you have to put in an extension.
Exactly. As I say, I have just turned this into a metaphor of how to use the actual mail service in order for me to make sense.
It's surprisingly similar.
Yeah.
But the trouble with NAT...
Because that's logic, isn't it? It's just basic. That's why that exists in the postal service, because that's a logical way of doing it. So that same logic would apply to this.
The trouble with NAT is that it means NAT. It means that IPv6, whilst it is amazing and wonderful and brilliant, has not been adopted at all because nobody actually needs it anymore. There is a bigger problem, which is that we are running out of things like
warming.
Web servers.
There
are many bigger problems.
Smaller than that.
A bigger, more related,
racism?
More prescient problem.
Smaller than that. Okay, now we're going...
The state of American democracy? which is that we are running out of IP addresses to actually give to things like routers. So even home connections and servers.
Well, so that massive number
you
showed me before, that I read out at great length.
No, that's the IPv6
that's
number.
That's IPv6, okay. So the 248.248.248.248, even though they can proliferate...
Or 255 or...
Whatever, they can, even though they can create their own IP addresses for all the things that are connected to them, we're still running out.
Yes. Which is kind of crazy.
It's a global crisis.
But then at the same time, if you think about it, a lot of the networks that we connect to were designed to give you one of those IP addresses straight off the bat.
Right.
So until fairly recently, if you connect to, say, a mobile network...
They can't reissue IP addresses?
They don't now. Some of them do. Oh, yeah. No, IP address ranges in the IPv4 are sold at auction, and they're passed around.
Really?
Yeah, because there'll be some countries that have
a party.
Put your IP addresses in the bowl and take off your pants.
They're sold at auction.
Yeah, because
People want 69.
Because they need a new range, because they've used all the ones they've got, and there will be countries that have some that they've been allocated that they're not using.
Wow.
So they'll transfer them, which is why every so often you'll get something like when we connect to the internet from Jersey and you go onto Google Maps, it tries to convince you that you're in Antigua.
Oh, really? And that's why when you go on the BA website, it's like, well, you're in Hungary.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not.
That was actually a thing, because I think one of our local ISPs bought a massive block of IP addresses from a Hungarian telco. And it takes them a while to catch up with all of the, where the IP address is at.
And the BA website, sorry, BA, if you're listening, I sure assume you are, Mr. BA, Mr. Barr.
Isn't it Mr. Barakas?
Mr. Barakas. Yeah, no, it was a bad enough website as it was, but fucking hell, that's interesting.
So,
this isn't dry. It's fascinating.
Let's move on to the second player.
Can I ask one more question?
Oh, of course.
When we run out of IP addresses, do you foresee some kind of Mad Max type dystopian world where IP addresses are being sold? And
no, we just switched to IPv6. Yeah. I mean, it's disappointing. There. It works right now. You could use it right now. Just nobody is because they don't really need to.
It's computer shops like coming at each other with knives. I want 192.168.1.192.192.192.
There is actually. Some companies have very specific IP addresses that they use for certain things.
Right.
And weirdly, the most common ones are for something that we're not going to talk about, but it's kind of tangential, called DNS.
Oh, yeah, denial of service.
No, that's DDoS.
Right, yes.
DNS is the domain name service.
Right.
And it's how you translate www.mikelikesbigbutts.com into an IP address.
I don't know where that was going, but I'm okay with it.
Saved at the last minute there.
Right, okay. So when you type in a web address, are you actually technically typing in an IP address?
No, you are typing in something that is then looked up against the domain name service directory and translated straight into an IP address.
Because who can remember?
Exactly. Yeah. But, interestingly, to do that, you have to put in... you have to have a server that you can ask, what is the IP address for this website?
Right.
And that server, by definition, you have to talk to via its IP address.
Right.
Because it's the server that you ask, what does this .com or this .co.uk or this .cock.
That's not a thing.
It is.
C-O-K? Where could that be from? I don't know. Well, no. It's not a thing.
You know what's Nathan Barley?
No.
Oh. Anyway.
Although I've heard about it, I'm not surprised you like it.
And some of the big DNS providers have very, very, very easy to remember IP addresses. So right. Google offer a public DNS service, and they are 8.8.8.8 and 8.8.4.4. They've got two of them.
So it's like, God help me, it's like directory inquiries. It's like 118.118 or something, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think IBM have got like, there's one of them's got 5.5.5.5, and one of them's got 3.3.3.
When I get home, I'm just going to type. When we're done, I'm just going to get on.
It's a DNS server. There's going to be nothing there.
The type will stuff.
Actually, there might be. I don't know what happens if you try and resolve 8.8.8.8 on the web.
Let's have a look.
Right, whilst you're having a look, I'm going to move on to the second player in our fun packet party. It's time for TCP.
Taking care of penis. TCP.
So, the second half of our love affair of packets.
We now return to TCP ICP.
IP.
Chapter 2. TCP ICP's not a thing.
Previously on TCP IP.
Chapter 2, TCP : Electric Boogaloo.
Okay, so TCP, Transmission Control Protocol.
Transmission Control Protocols for spaceships.
And this is a layer that runs on top of IP.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And what it does is provide... So you remember all the problems that we talked about with reliability and ordering and what have you?
Yes, yes, yes.
TCP fixes all of them.
That was a short chapter.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So it gives us a whole bunch of stuff that we can send on top, which allow us to say, actually, this thing came in this order, or this thing didn't arrive at all.
So it's like an extra level of metadata.
A massive whole nother layer of metadata.
Right, okay. Well, that has to be layered because... Why can't they just add it to the IP?
Well, they did, but it gives you something called a monolithic infrastructure, which is not brilliant, because if you want to make changes, it's much harder to do.
You have to change all of it as opposed to just a bit of it. Yes,
the IP system is very, very, very good at what it does, and it carries more than just TCP.
Right.
There's other things that can be run over
it. So this
is
just two layers, and but there are other layers, we're just not talking about them right now.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about one of them in a moment.
Sure.
Now, the big thing that...
Integration.
TCP brings to the party
yes.
is where IP address, IP's party trick is the address. Mm-hmm. So TCP's party trick is something called a port.
Oh, I've seen the word port when I've looked up router bits.
Yeah. So you connect on...
It
basically allows you to run different services and different applications which run on top of TCP
right.
on the same network and on the right. same system.
Okay.
We don't really need to know much more about ports. We can talk about some of them if you wish. We can play What Runs on That Port.
Okay, I'm always up for a game.
All right,
I've called your bluff.
So, port 80.
Oh, I feel like I've seen port 80. I'm going to say that is email. I don't know. It's not that kind of thing, is it?
Yeah.
It's,
no, it's exactly that kind of thing, right, but so, it's not email. It is...
It's web browsing.
It is web browsing. Yeah. Unsecured web browsing.
Ah.
Because secured web browsing runs on what?
Port 85.
No.
90, 160.
443.
That's going to be my next guess.
Port 25.
Fine, yeah. Port 25. I'm going to say email again.
Uh-huh.
Yes! I knew if I kept saying it, it'd be right.
So, TCP port 25 is SMTP, specifically email delivery.
Oh, because, yeah, okay, so I've seen the SMTP.
Yeah. Okay. Port 110.
Oh, I've seen that too. Why have I seen all this stuff before? Just because it comes up, like, with an error message and says something weird. Port 110. Video.
No, it's email again. But it's email receiving this time.
Right.
So that's something called the POP, which is the Post Office Protocol.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. I've seen the POP protocol pop up in the Outlook, what's it, when it's sending and receiving.
Port, TCP port 53.
I can't believe you know all this. Did you learn this for this?
No, I knew this already.
Right, so port 53.
It's the one we were just talking about. If you go to 8.8.8.8.
Oh, it's DNS.
It is. DNS runs over port 53, although more commonly it runs over a different protocol. Which we will talk about in a moment.
Oh, I love to create tension. It's like Chekhov's gun. Introduce it in the second act and know it's going to pay off by the third.
I would love if I could remember what the hell runs on port 69.
Up top, man, brother.
And there is actually a registered application that runs on port 1337.
Port 1137?
1337, so it's Leet. As in Leet speak from the hacker's thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, can't remember what the fuck it's called. But that exists and is a thing. There are lots of ports... Because the port numbering actually goes up to, like, I think it's 64,000. So you can have 64,000 different...
64,000
ports? Yeah, per IP address.
Jesus. Okay. Just thinking about port 69. Isn't it the protocol for transferring files?
File transfer protocol?
Yeah, and implemented on top of the UDP/IDP protocols using well-known port number 69?
It might be. That was some good Googling there.
What are you talking about? What's Google?
It's on 8.8.8.8. Yeah, weird. I didn't know FTP had a UDP variant.
There you go. I'm glad I could teach
you
something.
You really want to try and keep up with this?
I'm good.
We can go deep.
Let's go next. Let's move
right,
on.
Right, moving on. So,
no, look, we have taught you your lesson.
The other thing that TCP introduces is the concept of handshake.
Okay, yeah.
So specifically, when two hosts want to talk to each other,
right?
And you remember before we were saying we're trying to send this packet to point B, but we've got no idea if point B even exists anymore.
So it's saying to point B, are you point B? And it's saying, hello, yes, I am point
B. Well, actually, that's pretty much it. It's very, very British, and it's referred to as the TCP triple handshake.
Right.
And they use three-letter packet codes.
Gave her the old triple handshake.
or three-byte packet codes. But effectively, what it starts with is, hello.
Hello.
Are you Mike? And this is referred to as the SIN, or the initiation packet.
Right.
At which point, you come back to me as the originating server and say,
hello, yes, I am Mike.
The SIN ACK part of the handshake. At which point, I say, wonderful, Mike. Good to meet you. I've got some stuff to give you.
Right, so it's the postman knocking on your door.
It's but it's... No, because the postman knocks on the door and fucks off.
No,
right? They don't wait for an answer.
It says, we assign for this.
Yeah.
And then you have to sign to prove.
And this is where, if you want to extend your postal analogy, TCP is special delivery.
Right.
Because not only does it establish the initial availability of the host before it starts sending...
Right.
But also, it tracks each of the packets of the message that's being sent with an order identifier.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they might arrive in the wrong order, they can be reordered.
Right.
And also, because we know what order they're arriving in, what number they are, and how many there are in total,
yeah.
we can tell if we don't get any.
Right.
So you can request something called a retransmission of a packet.
Right, yeah, okay.
So basically, look, I got discs 1, 2, and 4 of The West Wing. Where's disc 3?
Yeah, okay.
And the network, actually, the TCP protocol provides robust support for retransmission. And to be honest, that's about all TCP is. It's this layer of, like, chocolatey goodness on top of IP, which is the big daddy motorway.
It strengthens everything.
It strengthens it and makes it considerably more polite, very British, and much more reliable.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is that actually there is, it has kind of a sister, which is called UDP.
Right.
Which is, I think, the user datagram protocol.
So that's another layer on top of IP, TCP.
On top of IP. So you can have UDP IP.
The sister's in between the two.
Eh? What?
This sandwich.
No. Sandwich.
Sandwich. Anyway, I was thinking about food. Right.
And what UDP does is the exact opposite of what TCP does, in that it gives you all of the addressing functionality and what have you, but it strips away all of that error checking and ordering on the basis of very rapid delivery. It doesn't care if the message gets there.
Oh, right. It's just hammer it.
And the whole point is that TCP is actually quite expensive.
What's the point of UDP? It's cheaper.
Not, I'm sorry, when I say expensive, I mean in terms of network time. Because if you imagine all of that,
So if you aren't concerned, if you're pretty bloody sure about the delivery address and all that X, Y, and Z, blah, 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 you're not
if you just don't care.
Okay, if you don't just care, then you just wouldn't bother with TCP, you just use UDP.
Yeah, UDP over OP.
When would you not care? Why would you bother doing it at all?
Well, there are a couple of obvious examples. So one of them is DNS.
Right.
Where you send a request to a DNS server, but actually, by design, DNS has to be configured to use more than one server.
Right.
And what you actually do when you say which IP address is google.com is you don't ask one server, you ask all of the servers you know of, which can be, traditionally it's two.
They can all confirm each other.
Yeah, and it's basically, it's like scattergun approach. Like, and the
what's in your scattergun?
Scat.
Ah, yes. Walked right into that one.
Have a tissue. The idea is that you basically, you make the request to all of the servers at the same time, and it's the first one that answers you wins.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter if you know the request doesn't get there, you don't care.
Sure.
The other one is syslog, I think, logging from servers, because the servers can be configured to log this information out to another server, but they don't care if the logging server gets it. They're done.
Yeah. Done my
They're
part.
Like, yeah, I've sent my message. It's your problem, mate.
Yeah.
So UDP exists, to be honest, as the second of the two layers, or the transport layers, as part of the Internet Protocol stack.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We said a lot about layers. Let's talk a bit more about layers.
Oh, good. I was hoping you'd say that.
So hopefully to give you a bit more clarity on why we are so obsessed with layers in the world of networking.
Sure.
Let's talk about what the layers are quickly.
TCP, and ICP, UDP, POP.
Yeah.
IMDB.
You're missing one, literally, from that list. There are four. In the original Internet Protocol design, there are four layers. And they start with something that's called the link layer.
Richard Link layer. The Link's Awakening layer.
Yes. This is link to the past layer. No, the link layer is the physical layer that actually connects two things, and it's the network cable or the wireless radio signal.
Right.
And that has a whole bunch of stuff that's going on all the time that's completely unrelated to either IP or TCP.
Right.
And both both IP and everything that runs on it can run over a variety of different things. This is why you can use exactly the same system to connect to the internet, whether you're connected to wireless, whether you're connected to 4G, which is another type of link layer, or whether or not you're plugged into a network cable in the wall.
Right, okay. Yeah. Because all the other layers still travel along that, but that's the extra layer.
Yeah.
There's our driver here to pick us up.
Then he's late.
Yes.
The next layer is the IP layer that we've talked about. So this is literally the IP protocol that we've been talking about.
The identification protocol.
And then you have the third layer, which runs on top of the IP layer, which is the transport layer. And this is TCP and UDP.
Right. Oh, so they're within a layer and layer.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And another one, which is called ICMP.
I see MP.
I see dead people.
Yes, I said. I see MP.
And on top of those...
Was ICMP?
I want to say it's Internet Control Message Protocol.
Sure, that sounds right.
Incontinent monkeys clutching penises.
You missed a C?
No. Incontinent.
It's a cop out.
And also it was IMCB. Anyway, on top of those, you have what's referred to as the application layer. And these are things like HTTP.
Right.
SMTP.
Yeah.
DNS.
Okay.
All of this stuff that runs on top of the entire stack.
Right.
So you have three layers, and then you have the thing that it's
all
actually doing.
Right, yeah, yeah. Then you have the port.
Yeah, which is introduced at the transport layer.
Yeah.
And actually is used to determine which application you are talking to.
Right.
So there's a degree of interconnection.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the network model was rejigged in, I want to say, the early 90s, in something called the OSI model. And the OSI model
the
provides
Office
for
of Scientific
seven.
the isn't Office that, isn't of that a created $6 million man.
Mm-hmm.
That was the OSI.
No, this was an ISO. Remember the guys from ISO?
The Institute of Saucy Ostriches.
The International Standards Office.
That's the one.
I think
I always get those two mixed up.
They were the guys who were like up there with the IEEE, when they were designing wireless protocols. And the OSI model actually has seven layers.
Right.
Which, to be honest, are most of the...
Right, so
most
we
of them are those
on,
four.
We were operating on the four, and then they changed it to seven.
Yeah, because they realised that they could actually split some of those. So, for example, the link layer
right.
can be broken up into the physical thing
right.
and the protocol that runs on the thing. So they
right.
realised that layers basically were so fucking good that they needed more of them
yeah.
and they're, and more granularity, and
more
they split a whole bunch of them out.
And
with that, it's time for our amazing fact. Not sure why I'm pausing. We don't have a jingle for this segment.
I'll do a quick one. Amazing fact! It's pretty good.
You may not be aware.
not
it,
buzzing
it was good.
Okay.
It was great. It was beautiful. You may not be aware, but actually
I
a lot
not.
Of the...
Otherwise, it'll, not be that... it'll still be amazing. It just won't be surprising. Maybe this should be called the surprising fact.
This isn't the unknown by Mike fact. You can know something and it can still be amazing.
It can still be amazing, yeah. Yeah.
But no, a lot of the protocols that are discussed and the variants and all of this design are done via a system called an RFC,
right.
which is a request for comment.
Right.
So they will write a very long and fairly dull paper
mm-hmm.
That contains all of the details about how this shit works.
Right.
All the maths, all the engineering underneath it. Mm-hmm. And bear in mind, we are still talking about switches and electronics at the end of the day. And RFC 1149 was written.
So that somebody has written 1448 of these papers previously.
Oh yeah, lots of people.
Fucking hell, guys.
You know, UDP was an RFC. SMTP is an RFC.
Right.
All of the main protocols on the net.
Right. Okay.
And there are thousands of them.
Right. Okay.
So
this one,
1149 is right. special
mm-hmm.
because it was written by a chap called D. Weitzman. Or Weitzman, I think.
Weitzman. It's pronounced.
And it is, to give it its full title, a standard for the transmission of IP datagrams on avian carrier.
IP datagrams on, what, carrier pigeons?
Yes. There is an official published standard for using
carrier
pigeons as the link layer in an IP network.
Well, I mean, there's no reason it wouldn't work.
Not only there is no reason it wouldn't work, they tested it. And it did.
But hasn't it got to be a person on either end getting a bit of paper off a pigeon to type
yeah.
in?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
Feels a bit manual.
Well, a little bit. But they tested it, and this is now
is
referred
because,
to as...
Now, is that because carrier pigeons can go such great distances?
Yeah, it's
so
referred to as
satellites.
IPOAC.
Right.
So IP over avian carrier.
Yeah.
It was implemented. They only sent 9 packets of data. So they only had 9 pigeons.
Send more bird seeds.
They had a packet loss ratio of 55%.
Oh, shit.
So of those 9, 5 of them didn't make it.
Jesus.
Apparently due to operator error. I'm guessing they forgot to open the cage.
The pigeon operator?
Well,
to feed the pigeons?
Yeah, maybe they died.
We've strapped a message to the
yeah.
pigeon. Unfortunately, I accidentally killed the pigeon.
The message response time ranged from 3,000 seconds, which is about 54 minutes, to 6,000 seconds, which is about 1.7 hours.
This was a joke, though, right? They did this as a joke.
We'll see. Okay. I mean, I should say that this was released on April the 1st in 1990.
Right, okay.
But they have tested it. And it actually is an example of something that really exists. And it's called a sneaker net.
Right.
The idea that you can use these kind of protocols and what have you, and it doesn't have to have a computer or a network.
No.
If you know what IP address a person is.
They've invented a special type of internet protocol. They've invented carrier pigeons. That's like me saying, I've got a new type of protocol. I'm going to write you a letter, and I'm going to write your address on it. I'm going to post it to you.
But?
And it's going to be called the... protocol over internet protocol over the Royal Mail.
I mean, fundamentally, that's what a sneaker net is.
Is that why sneakers is called sneakers?
Well, it's they're all interrelated, yeah, because
no.
they were sneaking data,
yeah,
and they were wearing sneakers whilst they did it.
Sure.
And the scary thing is that whilst this was incredibly unreliable and very slow, if you think about it, if you gave 16 homing pigeons. Were each given 8 512 gigabyte micro SD cards, which you can get, and they take an hour to reach their destination, you're actually looking at a network that has a throughput, a total transfer volume of 145.6 gigabits per second. And bear in mind, the fastest internet connection in Jersey is 1 gig per second.
Okay, that is an amazing fact.
There we go.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
So that's been TCP/IP and UDP, so we don't have to talk about it next month. It's not going to be on the poll.
We are this close to taking the poll down entirely, you bastards. Stop trolling us.
And all of this stuff, we've done kind of a whirlwind tour, but bear in mind that every time you connect to a website, every time you receive an email, every time you stream something over Netflix...
Or download our podcast.
Or download our podcast, indeed. You are using... IP, and on top of that, you are using TCP and probably some UDP thrown in for good measure.
And we are now offering to send you it on mini disc tied to the back of a goose that I'm going to send to you as part of a sneaker net.
We're drunk and we know things over duck.
By Mallard. This has been the tech segment of We're Drunk and We Know Things, where we've discussed TCP, IP, UDP, layering. Carrier pigeons. Yeah, I think that covers it. We're still in France. A few more days. Our producer has been Marlo Pemberton III in absentia. And we will see you next time for you, where we'll be doing... The fuck begins with you?
UDP.
You? No, we did that. Say, I looked down and I saw it wasn't flashing when you were away, and I suddenly thought, that douchebag, knowing that I'm going to talk to myself when he goes to the bathroom, has left it recording, because I was like, to myself, and I looked down and I was like, fuck.